Who is this man? And where does he come from? Some say he is the Messiah, but he's from Nazareth, and the Christ must come from the city of David, Bethlehem. Besides, can anything good come from Nazareth? So who is this man? And by what authority does he do and say the things that draw multitudes of people to him? For 3 years, these questions drove the Pharisees mad. And the longer the Lord Jesus traveled about the countryside, attracting vast crowds, the more desperately the Pharisees and their friends in the Sanhedrin sought a way to stop him permanently. Who he is, of course, was so obvious that even a blind man could see it. But the Pharisees, with their eyes wide open, could see only their prejudices. Throughout his public ministry, the Lord Jesus performed miracles, which revealed his mastery over nature. And these miracles were also called signs, meaning signs of his divine nature. Signs that he is the Word made flesh, by whom all things were made. St. John focused his gospel on only seven of the many signs worked by Jesus. His changing of water into wine at Cana, his healing of the son of a royal official at Capernaum, his healing of a paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, his feeding of the 5,000, his walking on water, his healing of the man born blind, and his raising of Lazarus from the dead, about which we will read next Sunday. Today we consider the healing of the man born blind. And the Lord Jesus began this sign by correcting the hateful notion that people with disabilities or diseases somehow deserve their lot in life. Christ insisted that this man was not blind because either he or his parents were sinners. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you see, is not a sadist inflicting physical or emotional harm on us as punishment for wrongdoing. This man's blindness, rather, was simply a natural malfunction of the body. But this infirmity did provide an opportunity for the Lord Jesus to draw back the veil which concealed his divine glory from our sight. And by giving sight to a blind man, the Lord Jesus revealed that although he is a man like us in all things but sin, he is also God from God and light from light. In fact, the Lord Jesus is the light of the world more truly than is the bright star which fills our daytime sky. And here we come to a puzzle. Given the power of his signs and his teaching, why was it so difficult for so many people to see that Jesus of Nazareth is the God who revealed himself to Abraham, who delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, who gave the law to Moses, who brought the people to the land of promise, and who anointed David the shepherd to be king? The Lord himself provides part of the answer in his instruction to the prophet Samuel in the first lesson. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. And so Jesus looked into the hearts of the Pharisees who opposed him and understood their rejection. They saw an upstart who had no credentials. He was not educated in their schools. He was not certified to teach by their authorities. He did not defer to their expertise. He traveled and ate with notorious sinners. His disciples were not proper scholars. They were all simple working men of no standing. And he would not conform to their piety by refraining from curing the sick on the Sabbath. The Pharisees could only see a man beneath their contempt, and yet the public signs were a real problem. Some of the Pharisees had witnessed what Jesus could do, and so a disagreement broke out among them. Some declared, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And then this very disagreement among their own number became only a further provocation to them. But what the Pharisees could not and would not see, the blind man did see. Jesus could simply have said to him, "Receive your sight," and the job would have been done. Instead, he spit into the dirt and made clay, which he then smeared on the man's eyes. Why? Remember how Lent began? "You are dust, and unto dust you shall return." We are made from the clay of this earth, and then the life-giving Spirit is breathed into us by God the Father. That is why all seven sacraments of the new covenant are designed by God to mediate his grace to us through matter. We receive God's grace according to our bodily nature, and since we are made from the dust of the earth, we encounter the living God through bread and wine, oil and water, the touch of a human hand, and the power of the spoken word. After Jesus anointed the blind man's eyes with clay, he instructed him to wash in the pool of Siloam, which was a narrow channel in Jerusalem, cut into solid rock and fed by springs outside the city with water piped in through aqueducts and a tunnel that survives to this day. The pool of Siloam was a place for ritual washings that prepared those who bathed in the water to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with clean hands and pure hearts. And now the blind man was sent to this pool as a prefiguring of holy baptism. Recall that Lent exists to prepare the church for baptism at Easter, both the baptism of those who will be born again by water and the Holy Spirit, and the stirring up of baptismal grace in all those who will renew the promises of their baptism at the celebration of Christ's Passover. And one of the many names for the sacrament of baptism is enlightenment. The Paschal candle, which is born into our midst in the darkness of the Easter vigil, is the preeminent symbol of Christ our light. And from that flame, the baptismal candle is kindled to signify, as St. Paul writes to the Ephesians in our second lesson, that all who are baptized were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. And that is why we must live as children of the light and take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. After the blind man washed in the pool of Siloam, his eyes were opened and he saw the light. The Pharisees were outraged and demanded an explanation, which he struggled to provide. But then he finally declared, "One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." The healed man knew then that Jesus is no ordinary man, even a prophet. But he was not yet sure what else Christ is. And this is so very often our condition. The Lord Jesus seeks and finds us, and we are changed by his grace. But we can then find it difficult to understand and give a precise explanation of what has happened and how. And if we speak of the grace of our conversion, we may be ridiculed by others, just as the Pharisees poured contempt on the man who received his sight. And this should not surprise us, for thus says the Lord, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Such blindness is now on display in the demands of many Catholics, including not a few bishops, priests, and even cardinals, who insist that the Church must abandon the apostolic deposit of faith on matters of human sexuality, personal identity, and sacramental grace in favor of the new Gnosticism, which pretends to be the light of wisdom, when in fact it is just a reworking of ancient blindness, seeking to excuse fruitless works of darkness. But those who call darkness light, no matter what their motives may be, are simply following the same blind path as did the Pharisees who held the Lord Jesus in contempt. When the Pharisees finished tormenting the man whose eyes were opened, the Lord Jesus sought him out in love and spoke to him as he did to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in last week's gospel. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man cured of blindness replied, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And the Savior answered, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And then the healed man received saving faith. By the grace of our baptism, we are called to worship God with open eyes, clean hands, and pure hearts, as did this man whom Jesus healed. And the grace of second birth is given to us in holy baptism, precisely so that as adopted children of God, we can confess with the divine glory of Jesus of Nazareth and bear witness to the truth of his gospel with our words and with our lives. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. St. John tells us that this man with his sight restored said to the Messiah, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Friends, in the clarity of vision which comes only from our conversion by grace through faith, we too are called to worship in spirit and truth the one alone who is God from God and light from light, the Word made flesh, the Lord, Jesus Christ.